look on your inside of your bulletin, down there at the bottom on the inside, it says Heaven Gates and Hell Flames. That's going to be a drama that we're going to be doing on June the 20th and 22nd. See My Wife if you'd like to participate in that. We need all kinds of actors and actresses to pull that off. A lot of people all through the country have gotten saved through this wonderful ministry. Actually, some of my family members have been saved through it, and that's why they reside in heaven now as we speak. So it's a great, great program. So I hope you'll be part of it, and that's just kind of a neat thing. If you're a visitor, we thank you for being here today. If you fill out a card, my staff will bring a gift to your house. So that's kind of a cool thing to do, and helps us pray for you and your needs. So let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll get into our tithing message, just kind of talk about some of the things that God's doing in our midst today. So Father God, bless us today as I look out to the people. Father God, I can see that there are so many people here today. Lord God, as we march to the cross, we're reminded again that you're the only one who can do these things. And we're excited that you have done them, and we want to be part of your kingdom. So we ask you to bless this message, this tithing message, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that it would speak to not just the hearers here in the sanctuary, but to the broadcast with people across our country and in the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I was talking to one of our staff members, and they said there was a gentleman that was blessed to be here and be praying with us this week. He wasn't able to be here, but he's a faithful follower on our live stream. So thank you so much, sir, for being part of our live stream, as many are as the broadcast goes out. And then had two guys come to me in between services. Miss Van Griffin, you was there. These two guys wanted to join our church, so they're going to be joining our church. Dave and Mike, super cool guys. They go, man, we want to join the church and be part of that. So that's kind of cool. Let's go into Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, talking about the scripture. There's a lot going on in the scripture. I'll try to break it down and maybe we can help each other kind of set the stage about some of the things that God is requiring. He sat down, so this is Jesus. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. And many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put two small copper coins, which made a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen. So I want to tell you, and I've said this for years, I don't want people to think that they can't be part of the worship service in the area of tithes if they don't have a lot of money. A lot of times people go, well, I don't have a lot of money, I can't be part of the tithe. The tithe is for God's people. It's not for rich or for poor. It's for everybody. And it's a way to worship the Lord. So don't ever let people convict you or shame or something like that. This is part of worship like the word is, like the worship is, and all this is all part of worshiping the Lord. Because I'll tell you what people, what happens to people is the enemy shames these people. And think, well, if you don't have a lot of money, you shouldn't participate in that. But Jesus is actually setting the model here by using this widowed lady and say she's put in everything that she had. She put in everything she had to live on. So she basically sacrificed everything she had in her purse or what she possessed. And then Jesus looks at her and he says, hey, she's given everything she had. So that's just be reminded that she gave out of her poverty and the other people were given out of their abundance. So, again, it has to cost you something to mean something to Jesus. Amen? So I'm going to tandem that with something that I put out on Facebook, I think on Friday afternoon. And I use this in Matthew 17, or I'm sorry, 16, verses 24. And this is where Jesus talks about people following him. So I was looking at this scripture, and there was two words that came to mind. Let me read the verse, and you tell me what you think about it. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Two words that stick out to me is denying and basically taking up the cross or picking up the cross and trying to find out what it means. And here's the thing. I'm kind of like you probably sometimes. I don't like to deny myself of anything. I think I'm entitled to it. I think I deserve it. So that's kind of how we live in the Western world. We don't want to deny ourselves anything at all. Never be uncomfortable for any length of time at all. I was preaching this in Wright City last night, and they were kind of got on it real quick, and I told them about my Quick Trip stories. I don't like deny. They set Quick Trips up like every 7 minutes, so you're not denying yourself if you feel like you might have a whim or some type of an urge, and you know, like you're going to go somewhere for more than 45 minutes in the car. You have to have the big gulp, and you have to have the Slim Jim. Can I get a Twinkie too? Can we stop and get donuts? We're like, we're going to a third world country or something. We're just going down the highway. Amen. Let's pack a cooler. Ice up the cooler. We got waters, Mountain Dew, Coke in there, all kinds of stuff. We're like, whew, boy, we ain't gonna get thirsty on the ride out there. Amen. We don't want to deny ourselves anything. Like, if I have to have like a cup of coffee in my hand, like every day till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Is the coffee machine working? Yeah. So the denial is giving up something you normally desire. Say that with me, giving up. This is kind of, we're going to just kind of tandem this with the lady and the widow's mite, and you know the story. So when I sent this out about the fast or this, that, and the other, and the people were coming to me, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. One guy told me, I met him in the hallway, he goes, I'm jonesing right now. For young kids that don't know what jonesing means, that would be addicts used to scratch when they was waiting for a hit or something. All the hippies say amen, so I don't look like I'm dumb up here. Okay. And I was like, I said, you'll be okay. We're going to call the fast off on Easter morning and resurrection and all that. And then they were like, thank God for that. And then I'll do the cross here. So take up the cross. And this one here's tricky, so I'm going to take up the cross. Take up the cross, take up the cross. Oh, yeah, the Western rule, take up the cross. I want a bumper sticker on my truck, Terry. Get a cross or get some jewelry. Hang it from your rearview mirror. That's what the cross means. That's not what it means in the Bible. The cross means dying and dying to self. Just somebody say, oh, me, and I'll get into it. Dying to self, that means not my way. Not my will, but his will. Let me say it again, Kathy. Not my way, my donuts. So anyways, I got to tell you the donut story. So for St. Patrick's Day, the donut box, when my wife takes my mother-in-law to her one of her doctor's appointments, there's a Krispy Kreme by. You can't go by that without going in. So they stop and they grace us with donuts. Well, it was like a leprechaun box or something. I didn't recognize what donut company it was, so I didn't really pay attention to it. But once I found out it was Krispy Kreme, I need to be in that box right there. So I told the service that I got up last night and I had one. I had the Reese's peanut butter cup one. Oh, me. And my wife didn't know about it, so she came in and she brought me a, when I had two guys in my office, she brought me in a donut. And she goes, well, I didn't know that you really had one last night, but I brought you in one today. And I go, well, I'll go ahead and take that one too. So dying to self, dying to self and following, watch this, following God's way of walking. Amen. God's way of talking. God's way of acting. God's way and the way my relationship run with my mom and my dad and my family and my marriage and the people and the, all this. Not my way, but God's way. That's what the cross means. Forgetting about my way and following his way. And God's people said amen. I just hold on for a second. Just as we go to the cross, these stories are stories that are going to get us closer and closer to getting into Jerusalem and Palm Sunday and Good Friday and all that and resurrection and all that. All these stories are about Jesus telling his people about denying themselves and picking up the cross. Let's pray, everybody, and we'll drop the house lights down for this prayer. So, Father God, I am like everybody else. I don't like to deny thyself. And I know your way's a better way. So today, Lord God, forgive me. Forgive me, I said, Lord, where I haven't followed you and haven't denied myself. But let me take up my cross, dying to self and following your ways, your language, the way I treat people, the way I talk about people, the way I pray for people. I want to do it like you do it. So today, Father God, with the widow in mind, let us be givers. Let us live sacrificially, and let us exemplify that today in our tithes and our offerings. Pray all this in thy name of Jesus today. Amen. Amen. So let the offering be picked up. We can applaud the Lord. We'll get into the message today. So the message comes from Mark 10. So I was in Matthew. Go to Mark 10. And these are some of the things me and Mike Sr. covered on Overcomer Hour, but I'll get to expound on them just a little bit. This story is about the story of blind Bartimaeus, and it basically runs from verse 46 to 52. But before that, there's a story that precedes that in verse 35. And I talked about this last night at the Wright City location, and it's about James and John, the sons of thunder. And here in the text, read this with me, class 35, says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said, Teacher, we want you. So anytime somebody comes with that posture, they're trying to, I call it manipulation. Will you say that with me? Manipulation. We want you to. Did you ever try to approach your parents that way? Mom and Dad, we want you to. I mean, I couldn't in my family, but maybe some of you guys would. We want you to, Dad. I always use my dad because my dad's a guy that always says no. My dad would be like, what do you mean? You want me to what? You know, and that'll come up in the story. The sons of thunder. We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Older people didn't hear. We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Kind of sounds like government, doesn't it? I mean, I'd like it. We want you to do what we tell you to. Here's the deal. You can't manipulate me. You can't manipulate God. Amen. Are we okay now? Everybody all right? I mean, and so these guys just go, you know what? We're so good. We're so tough. We just figured that you owe us something. So here's our request, God. We want you to grant to us to sit at your right and sit at your left hand. And Jesus probably goes, oh, man, these guys are whacked out. See, here's the deal about the places, Mrs. Chittenden, in heaven. They've already been spoken for. And you won't be sitting at the right hand of the Father. Because that's Jesus' chair. Amen. Hold on for a second. And you're not, you shouldn't want it, and you're never going to get it. Let me say it to you guys. You shouldn't want it because you don't deserve it, and you shouldn't ask for it because it's Jesus. I mean, that would be like you guys going in your front room and going to your dad while he's sitting in his lazy boy, and like you're like, Dad, you're in my chair. That would be like coming up, one of your kids coming up to you and go, Hey, Dad, I want my stimulus money. They go, Hold on for a second. First of all, it ain't my money, but they're giving it to me anyways, and you don't deserve it. And kids should never ask for it. We're gonna get it here in a minute. Just let it marinate for a minute. See, we like receiving things, but we don't like denying self. Jesus said, at the right hand of the left is not for you. He says, you have no idea what you're asking for. And he starts to go, and he kind of, I'll paraphrase, he said, can you drink from the cup that I'm drinking from? That would be like the kids asking for money from you. Give me that stimulus check. Do they get up and do they go to work with you? Do they open the shop? Do they stay late? Do they lay in grease? Are they freezing at night? Do they work in the rain? Do they do all this stuff? The answer is no. That means this. You don't deserve it then.
Amen.
And so Jesus is looking at these two young guys. He's like, man, you have no idea what you're asking for. He says, I guarantee you can't drink from this cup. Yep. Only I can drink from this cup. Amen?
Amen.
Yep. So putting things in proper perspective, now we can get into the story of blind Bartimaeus in verse 46, 10:46. And it says, they came to Jericho. So they're in Jericho. They're leaving Jericho. They're headed to Jerusalem. And he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus was sitting by the roadside, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Now remember this, while all this story is playing out, Jesus knew he had to go to the cross. It'd be like you going to the dentist, knowing you got to go to the dentist to have a tooth pulled. And then one of your kids comes up and go, hey, Mom, can you fix us a sandwich or something? Like, man, I'm going to have a tooth pulled, dude. Are you kidding me right now? But Jesus doesn't act that way because he's always concerned about other people. Jesus is a foot washer.
Amen.
Is that okay, Vicky? He's the king of servants. So to be the king of a servant, you don't have to just speak it. You also have to act it out, Mrs. Ferguson. I mean, we can tell everybody we're Christians all day long, but until they see action with your confession, people are just calling that lip service.
Yeah.
So Jesus has all this history. Verse 47, and when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up, came to Jesus, and said to him, now listen to this. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Circle this right here, class. Your faith has made you well. And then you find out right here in the story, immediately he recovers his sight. And then what does he do? He follows him. So we know this ahead of time that followers of Jesus actually, watch this, follow Jesus. Yeah. We'll get back to that. I know it's kind of weird, but. So here's the small meeting now, okay? Amen? So blind Bartimaeus was there, and he must have been of some significance because his dad, they mentioned his dad, Timaeus. And actually, if you look in here and study, not many people were mentioned by name that Jesus healed. That Jesus healed all kinds of people, but the Bible only really uses this guy's name and maybe a few other in the Bible, but they named him by name because as the story goes on, just listen, and I'll tell you why I believe it's so. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, stop for just a second. Blind Bartimaeus must have been somewhat intrigued by this Messiah to come or planned on being a follower because he calls Jesus of Nazareth. So he must have been reading the book of Isaiah, or he was reading the book out of Joel, or he was doing something in the Old Testament that said, hey, one day there'll be a guy, a God man, that's going to come by, and his name will be Jesus, and he will be the Messiah, and he'll deliver us and all this kind. So keep your eye out for him today. And I'm telling the church today, keep your eye out for Jesus. He's going to come by. Be ready when he comes by and taps you on your shoulder and you rededicate yourself or get saved or whatever it is. Jesus is coming by today. And you'll have to have the same posture that blind Bartimaeus has. So you'll have to call Jesus by his name, Jesus of Nazareth. And what does he do, class? He began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David. So that kind of affirms that he knows he's coming from the lineage of King David. Man, hold on for just a second. I can't see, Shelby, I can't see, but I know he's coming by. And I don't know if it was the smell, the entourage, the Holy Spirit. I believe it's probably the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit, Franny, was speaking to this guy in a special way, the same way he's speaking to you today. I mean, at this time, it wasn't readily available yet, but in certain situations, it was available for people who really sought after the Lord, church. Amen. I mean, and blind Bartimaeus really wants him. So what does he do here? So he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David. What does he say? Have mercy on me. Say that with me, class 1, 2, 3. Have mercy on me. He didn't have a haughty attitude. He didn't go, hey, you know what? I want to sit at your right hand. Or, hey, yeah, I deserve a stimulus check. Or, hey, I deserve all this. He said, have mercy on me. He goes, don't strike me down right here and right now. You go, well, why are you saying that, Pastor? Because that's what everybody deserves, is to be struck down where you're at. See, that's not a popular teaching in the Western world. But because of the grace of Jesus Christ, you can ask Christ to have mercy on you today. Just, I don't know how you, here's the deal. We all know what we deserve, but because of the mercy of God, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Hold on for a second. That's holding back something you should have got. So far, man, this blind Bartimaeus guy, he's doing pretty good. I mean, he's there. He knows the son of David and Nazareth, and he's crying out. He says, hey, he says, first of all, God, the posture's right. I know I don't deserve to be here. I know I don't deserve to talk to you at all, but watch this. Watch this, Wes. Have mercy on me. I mean, that puts me right in the right place. That puts me, I know, you know, why did he save my soul? I have no idea why he saved my soul. The only thing I could think of is that he loves me. Amen. I mean, I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything good for it. I'm not better than everybody else. It's just that he loves me and he loves you, and he'll have mercy on you if you call to him. Amen. And that's a good message right there. So what I'm trying to say is, if we can get our spiritual posture in line and just kind of humble ourselves, put our pride in our pocket, and as we go to the cross, know the only reason he's saving our soul is because he loves us. not because of anything we've done or we deserve it or we earned it or I should have it or whatever. We're in this mode now where we believe we have to have everything. Here's the deal. I told the church at 8:30, the only thing we actually need is Jesus. I thought about you don't need a new pair of shoes and a new outfit or a new whatever. What we need right now is a spiritual makeover. Spiritual makeover. We need to draw closer to the Lord. And God's people said, "Amen." I'm gonna keep preaching like this. Listen. So he rebuked him. So no, hold on for a second. So have mercy on me. And then you know what it's like being one in the cool club. You know, in high school there was a cool club, and then there was the different groups. We had everybody pigeonholed. These guys are running around with Jesus in verse 48, and many rebuked him. That was the cool club. They were hanging out with Jesus. They were part of Jesus' posse. So they probably walked with the Jesus posse swag, and it was something like this, like, "What's up? Yeah, what's up? No, you can't be in the club, man. This is we all got the Air Jordan tennis shoes here. It's a cool club. Cool clothes. Look at the tunic, man. I just had it pressed.
Are you wearing new shoes?
Amen. You ever been in the cool club? Because when you're in a cool club, you don't think other people deserve to be in the same club that you're in. But if we love Jesus as much as we say we do, we would want everybody to be in.
Amen.
So listen to what they do. So they kind of do this thing. And many rebuked him. So they're probably going, "Amen, be quiet. Jesus is busy. Be silent." But what did he do? He cried out all the more, "Son of David. Hey, son of David." And I think like this, he's probably walking away, Debbie, and he's going, "You know what, I got one more shot. I want to talk to Christians today who believe they got one more shot."
Yes.
Just one more shot. I'm not letting him get away. My wife will tell you that, man. I'm seeking after Jesus as hard as I can. I'll put my pride in my pocket. I'll stop whatever it is. And if I believe that I only got one more shot at Jesus, I'm calling him out all the more. And I don't care who's rebuking me. I don't care who's talking to me. I don't care what's going on. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop the presses and go, "You know what? We're going after Jesus with all our heart and all our might. We don't care who says what about it." And then I prayed this prayer. It was kind of like a crazy prayer out there, out there in Wright City. I was praying this prayer, and Danny Liston just got done playing and all this kind of stuff. And here's what he told me. He said, "Man," afterwards, and he left right after that, and he told me, he said, "Man, somebody sent me a picture of me. I was on stage, and I was with all these famous people and everything." And he said, "Nobody has any idea that picture went out how close I was to suicide." He said I was the most lost man in the whole world. Now I want to tell you something for the kids that don't know. You can look them up. And had everything, all the money, all the record labels, all the fame, all the fortune, all the everything that everybody's going after in the Western world. More money and more and all this, and had all the things that went with it. You heard the stories. He said when they took a snapshot, Terry, of that picture and showed it to him, he said, "No one knows how lost I was."
Right.
And you would think somebody that had that fame and that fortune would have it all together. He said, "I was more lost than at any point in my whole life. I was so far from God." But here's what I'm gonna lay down today. I believe that God's here and he wants to restore his people today. But here's the deal, you better not let him get away today. Don't let him get away. Don't let him get away. Let's get back to the story. So they called the blind man, saying to him, and I think the people in the group got to be saying at this point are going, "Man, I can't believe, but man, dude, he's calling you. He's calling you up." And that may be what some people are saying in your life right now, or the devil's saying, "I can't believe he's calling you back up, Kathy. After all the things she's been through and all the cancer treatments, and he's going to heal you one more time." And Kathy's yelling at him, "Hey, you ain't leaving here until you heal me."
Amen.
out what Jacob did. He wrestled with God all night long. We're going to keep wrestling until you bless me. You go, what you going to get? He whipped the snot out of me, man, but I got blessed. Amen. I'm going after him with everything I got. Don't let your opportunity leave here today because you're worried about what somebody else is saying or doing. Here's the deal at this point. Who gives a tinker's rip what anybody thinks about you? You're like, you know what, man? I'm as corny right now as it gets, so it doesn't matter. And you're old on top of that, too. So rise up with me. We'll get the lights right and Jackie and drop them down and Bebo will be up here. So listen to the last little bit of the story. The story's really good, and I'm probably not doing it much justice, but I'm trying to. So they call him, and he says, take heart, get up. He is calling you, and he threw off his cloak. Ah, here we go with the cloak. He's a smart man all the way through this, John. You go, well, why did he throw off his cloak? He threw off his cloak, Kenny, because he ain't a beggar anymore. He's not blind anymore. He leaves his old stuff on the ground, and he follows Jesus. So he said, I don't need my old ways anymore. Watch this, class. I don't need my old addictions anymore. So if you're going to follow Jesus, you don't need your old ways. Look at your neighbor and say, leave that stuff there. But in the Western world, what we want, people, is I want to be able to call myself a Christian and say that I'm praying for people, but I still want to be doing the same thing I was doing before I got saved. Amen. Don't look around. Don't look around. That's what we want in the Western world. We want God to bless me, Bob. I want to do whatever I want to do. Here's what the blind guy says. He said, man, I'm leaving my old stuff here. I'm going to follow Jesus. And that may have been all he had. I have no idea what he had. But he goes, I don't need that anymore. I don't need that anymore. Everybody's worried about it. If I have it, oh, hey. I don't know if I can leave that behind. I don't know. Somebody was telling me that this morning. Man, I don't know if I can do that. Well, here's the deal. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you have to deny yourself and follow Christ. That's up to you. That ain't up to me. That's up to you. You go, I want to follow Jesus. Here, if you want to follow Jesus, leave the bad things and the relational things and the addiction things and the bad press, whatever it is, leave that there. And he jumps up and he threw off his cloak. He sprang up and he came to Jesus. And here's something I want to drive home in verse 51. And when you spring to your feet, don't be like a little baby Christian and not know what you want when you go to see Jesus. You ought to be leaping out of your chair, Barb, going, I want to be healed. I want my relationship to be healed. I want my addiction to be healed. Blind Bartimaeus says, I want to see. You don't want to be sitting up there going, I don't really know. Here's the deal. I'd be like, get out of the way, dude. I know what I want. Hey, get out of the way. Let me get in here. The cats are like, oh, well, let's see. I don't really know what I want. I'd be like the guy to be pushing people out of the way. I'm like, I know what I want. I want to be saved, God. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like the guy behind him, you know. I'd be like, man, hurry up, dude. Don't you know what you want? And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Blind man says, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Can you imagine that? Never seeing, then all of a sudden, you're seeing just for the asking. You go, does God really have that kind of power? Let me tell you something, man. God's got wonder-working power. He can fix all your stuff. I want somebody to raise their hand that's had their stuff fixed. Fixed. I mean straight up fixed. Fixed. There's a catch to this, though. Burger. This blind Bartimaeus dude. It said at the end, they said he followed him on his way. Yeah. Watch this, John. Wherever Jesus went, blind Bartimaeus was there. Yeah. Come on, church. However Jesus talked, that's how blind Bartimaeus talked. Yeah.
It said he was following him on his way. He probably went with him on crusades after that. He probably went in the temple and showed everybody, look what Jesus did. He probably prayed for people. He probably had grace and mercy for people. He probably loved people the way Jesus did. He was a faithful follower of Christ by his action and his speech. Amen. So my prayer at the end, I told you I was going to tell you this. I was praying for all the people that were out in Wright City. And my prayer was for Mark. I called it the all-in prayer. I'm going to say it a little different to you guys. God's looking for some action Jacksons. God's looking for some action Jacksons. Not like the Peanuts cartoon teacher. God, here, look at this. God's done with that, Ron. Talking up a game. He's wanting somebody to get in the game. He's looking for some action Jacksons in his church. Somebody that'll pray for somebody. Somebody that'll love somebody. Somebody that'll tell people about Jesus when you leave here, man. The easiest time in the whole wide world to invite people to church is around Easter time. All you got to do is invite them, and they're like, you know what, man, I need to be there. And I talked to a guy that came to our church out there in Wright City. I met him and his wife afterwards, and here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, the Holy Ghost is in this place. That's what he said. Very kind man. And then he looked at him when he walked out the door. He said, I'll be back here. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on his way. Let's pray a prayer together. I wonder how excited he was, Terry, when he received his sight. I mean, would you like to have been there, class? Would you like to see the way he leaped off the ground, Kenny, and leaped up and ran up to Jesus? Would you run to Jesus when he called you? Would you like spring off your and get Larry? Would you get rid of your beggar's garment and run towards Jesus? I can't wait till the day I get to go up into glory. Will you guys run to him like I'm going to run to him? Would you? I mean, I want to know who's got a family member up there already. Do you know all the time that we got down here on earth is so short and so precious? Why would we want to mess it up by not following his ways? They're actually pretty easy. He's already paved the way through the cross at Calvary. That's actually what Easter celebration is all about. It's just really a celebration, Tommy. That's something he's already done. All you got to do is get on the bandwagon. Here's the deal. If you don't want to get on the bandwagon, that's okay. The devil will take you back. But when you get tired of messing around with the devil, God will always take you back too. So here's my prayer today for some Action Jackson people. Just raise your hand if you say, you know what, man, I'm ready to get my action up with my speech. I think we got the speech part down. That's pretty evident. Just raise your hand if that's you out there. Just go, I'm ready to get my physical body ready for this mission work that you got for me. And I'll tell you where it usually starts, Pastor Bevo, just so you know. It usually starts, watch this, with myself and my own home. Hold up for a second. Well, look at me for a second. Hold up for a second. I did this with my family. I did this with my family, my daughter and my wife. I did this very same thing. This thing right here. And we're doing pretty good. I said, we got to get this down. I just said it. I threw it out there. Like, are you kidding? I go, I'm not kidding. Let's get this down really good. And then I can take it out to my church, and my church can take it out to the world. It's got to start with me. But I'm ready to deny myself. So, Father God, all the people, there's such wonderful people in this church. They really do love you. And some have got hung up on things, and some are doing okay, and some people are in the middle or somewhere in between. My prayer is for the saints to rise up and take their rightful place. And by raising their hand today, Father God, the saints are telling you today that they're all in. The chips are in the center of the table. We're ready to go for you today. We're on fire for Christ at this church.
And then maybe for you that's never given your life to Jesus. I always do this. Would you like to be born again? Would you like to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? And if that's you today, what I want you to do, what I believe God wants you to do basically, is just raise your hand and say, I would love to be saved. I would love to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would love for him to live in my heart. I would love for his Holy Spirit to help me, show me the way. I believe that he died on the cross at Calvary. 3 days later, rose himself from a borrowed grave. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I want him to come into my heart, Becca. I want him to come and reside in my heart. That's a simple prayer, but it's effective. God, watch this now. Gary, God will move on that prayer. He said, well, how do you know that, Pastor? That's pretty presumptuous. I know that he'll move on that prayer because I did it.
Amen.
And he saved me, Terry, right where I was. Don't come in here and act like God can't change your situation. Mark, all you got to do is ask.
Amen.
Let's start asking. Pam and Larry, let's start asking God. I want to start believing in the full deity and power of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So, Father God, hear our prayer today. Touch and change lives through the power of the Holy Spirit as we give you glory for this beautiful, beautiful day that hearts and lives are changed. In thy name, his people pray and say amen.